Race Nuts Podcast, episode 19. Ash, mate, did you see much of Speed Series down at Queensland Raceway?
Up at Queensland Raceway, mate. Not really. I caught a whole heap of nothing. I did see that in the GT classes that Rene Gracie got put up the arse. And that was it. I know that Thomas Randall was there doing his thing. I didn't see any clips of it. I hope he did.
Also, one little bit. I think with the dire state of Speed Series at the moment, I think they were actually doing it remotely. Because every time I saw a bit of...
Oh, like studio.
Yeah, because he was in a studio every time I saw him. Like, I didn't watch it live. I only watched highlights.
Yeah.
But, no, I went for the... Oh, I caught the GT race live.
Yeah.
The first one, where... That was really good. That's obviously where they had the... I think it might have been Declan Fraser behind the wheel of the 888 car clipped Renee Gracie, which spun her, and then
two Stephen other cars Grove. Or something like that? Two other cars involved?
No, I think one swerved out of the way, and then Stephen Grove had nowhere to go and just collected the straight on and ripped the arse end out of that car, which I think it might have retired it for the weekend.
But, Renee's car.
Renee's. His car. The Grove Mercedes GT.
Yeah. No, I was going to say I'm 90% sure Renee's mechanics worked through the evening and night to get that car right again.
Yeah. But that was a good race to watch because you had a leader that had a 5-second penalty, a 10-second penalty for a pit lane infringement.
Yeah.
And then two tearing P2nd and P3. And in the end, I think it might have been an Audi got the win, but most notably was the driver. Does the name Alex Prioni mean anything to you?
It means nothing, mate. It sounds international as fuck, though.
No, he's Aussie. Alex Prioni was a Formula 3 driver. Spent a few years there. He did his last year in Formula 3 when Oscar joined up, and they actually got on the podium together on the second race at Austria in 2020.
Okay.
Australian 1-3.
But, so did he just run out of talent or run out of cash, like just off the vibes?
It's hard to tell with Formula 2, Formula 3, because like, you can jump. Look at Jack Doohan. He could be in, I can't remember what team, I think a HRT for his first season was nowhere, and then he moves to another team, might have been High Tech, and suddenly he's fighting for the best wins. So.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell. He'd been there for a couple of years, and he went to do Indy Lights afterwards, but his biggest claim to fame was the 2019 season. You can find it on YouTube where he runs wide at the Palabolica.
Yep.
He ran... Sorry, I just had my man down in Tasmania tell me that the transporters are currently arriving at Simmons Plains. Bit of inside knowledge for you.
No, really? Is that is that your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Big Jeff down south telling us.
Yeah.
The trucks have arrived.
Well, they'll be on that quick note. They'll actually be they're doing a Hobart run tomorrow.
Yeah,
3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, they've got a little street party going off. They've got, I believe, 4 drivers of there. It was like Ryan Wood, Aaron Love, and all
I
that.
I think it might have been Cam Waters. I'm pretty sure it was Cam Waters, or maybe it might have been David Reynolds.
Yeah,
more like a David Reynolds on that Drivers Only podcast. If you haven't listened to that yet, on the second episode, they were talking about the track to town, like the difference between how relaxed New Zealand was versus like. Doing it in Darwin and Townsville. And I'm pretty sure it was David Reynolds that admitted that he got up to like 220 or something. driving, doing the track to town in New Zealand.
Pukekohe.
Yeah, not Pukekohe.
Taupo. Same.
It's Taupo. It's not.
Questionable.
Anyway, Now, Alex Prioni is most well known for running wide in 2019 in the Palabolica in Monza and hitting a sausage curve.
That's rough. Being known, well known for that.
No. What's well known was the sausage curve launched him into the stratosphere. He went, he literally went up over the fence, landed upside down, and he, I don't think he broke his back. I think he, like, really frayed. Like, he did some fucking damage.
Did you say this was Monte Carlo?
Monaco.
Yeah.
Monaco Formula 3 2019.
No, that rings a bell, yeah. And,
yeah.
Oh, is that the corner that's, like,
up
the hill, and then you're coming down the hill, and, like, it's near the hairpin? Is that right?
No. The Parabolica is that final corner at Monza, that final right-hander where you got to drift into it and then really power out of it for the straight. So he'd run wide and kept on the throttle to obviously maximize his speed on the straight, and that's when he hit the sausage curve and just launched.
Ah, okay, yeah. Good on him, I say. If you're going to do it, do it properly. Obviously, he walked away fine, before I just...
He did walk away, and I was like, "Oh, he's fine." I was like, "Oh no, he's done some significant back damage." But he's he was back in 2020 mainly because everything got shut down, so he had time to really recover. But I think that was his career best was that podium with Oscar in the second race at Austria. But anyway, so that's his first. Every bloke and their dog is messaging me.
Hey, that bloke's me messaging you, mate.
Yeah.
Bing bong. Why can't this shit? I'm trying to be subtle here, so I don't have to just interrupt you. But now
you might as well, because you're just interrupting me because I'm trying to understand your messages.
Well, bitch, I'm having brownouts up in here. My lights are flickering, so if I just like disappear, that's why.
No, you get that with the big jobs.
Yeah. All right,
just Croydon things.
Baronia things soon enough, mate. Baronia things.
Next minute, Baronia's worse.
I'll be out of the fry pan
into the fryer.
The place we're looking at, I've got like, it's an apartment building, and like, I just look out perfectly at power lines. Like, that's just my straight view of just power lines. And I'm like, I'm talking to the real estate agent, and I'm like, is there anything I should know about living this close to power lines? And they're like, not really. I'm like, okay, well, guess I'll wear my tinfoil hat for the first month or so.
Ironically, that would make it worse, wouldn't it?
bounce the frequencies off, mate.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Alex Pirani's first real return back to Australia, because he went and did some Indy Light stuff, and now he's back. So, I think he said somewhere that he's keen for a tilt in a supercar. We've not that happens, that's something else.
Well, he wouldn't be the first Australian or former Grand Prix driver to do it. I know he's not an F1 Grand Prix driver, but I believe
that's gone up that route. Yeah, well, James Courtney.
Yeah, but I believe in reverse roles, I believe it was... Oh, it's definitely not Alan Moffat. I read it last night. It was Jack Brabham and someone else who in like 65 or some shit did a Bathurst run.
A fair few of them did. I think Brabham definitely did.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember his name correctly so I don't stuff up. The former race director of Supercars who retired only a couple of years ago. Tim Shinken. He was a Grand Prix driver for a little bit as well.
Oh, shit.
Before coming back to what was Australian Touring Cars and...
Then V8 Supercars and then Supercars.
Yeah, running that. Obviously, Craig Lowndes had a crack, but then the team he was aligned with went under, and that was that. Previously mentioned James Courtney. Probably one of the biggest ties with it will be... the 2006 race, the 1968 world champion, Denny Helm. No, Denny Hulme? I'm gonna quickly Google that so I don't mix him up with the NASCAR driver. Because I've done that before. 1968 world champion. 69. Thanks, Google. That's not what I asked. Am I having a stroke?
Is this it? Is this you just going? Oh, God.
Yeah, it might be. Denny Hume, which is... Is it 1967. Yeah, so 1967 champion Denny Hume, who's he's a Kiwi. He won his title with the Brabham team driving with Jack Brabham.
Yeah.
So he came back to Australia and did a lot of racing. In fact, he actually passed away at the 2006 Bathurst 1000 in the car.
As in, like...
He was racing and he suffered a heart attack and just rolled to a stop. Okay. I think it might have been the cutting.
Yeah, just rolled to a slow stop or something, yeah.
It did pretty well. I think it was like, he was in his mid-60s by my memory. So.
Oh, that's all right. Even, yeah.
But, moving on to, with the other GT4s, it was 56 when he died. GT4s, there was a good battle between the McLaren and the new GT4 Mustang.
Yeah.
John Bell was back racing there in a BMW.
Yep.
We've already discussed the GT World Challenge. Trans Am. Todd Hazelwood doing quite well there. He won races one. One, three, and four, splitting the win with Matt Hearn. Hearn,
Hearn's the name.
Yeah, Hearn sounds right. And then TCR, Tony D took out race one and three with Casher. I can't remember writing. Yeah, it was Casher took out race two.
Okay. Todd Hazelwood, like, just the more, I guess, the notable performances happening in Trans Am is actually quite good. Like, it's definitely, it would be the hottest he's run since maybe his karting days, Super 3, Super 2 days. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly if he did
Super 2 and 3. You feel there'll be a lot less stress.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, a lot more relaxed of an environment. Like, as we've been to these, like, the paddock's so much smaller, a lot less press and media, and it's, a lot more casual. I'm pretty sure last time we were at a Speed Series event, which is what Trans Am race with, under their umbrella for the most part, besides excluding the Adelaide 500 this coming November. I'm pretty sure one time you and I were walking down the paddock thing, and I think it was Will Brown walking opposite way to us, and he was talking to a mate, and he just swore to his mate, and in a joking way, we were like, that's it, we've got blackmail on this bloke. Yeah. He's sworn, and we know about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's blackmail. If you hear these new podcasts are coming out, I don't think that's going to be much blackmail.
Yeah.
I really got to give it a shot. So, the Apex Hunters podcast with Scott Pye and Elliot Barber.
Yep.
Man, that's been really good. Like, they recently had Tim Blanchard on.
Yep.
And Scott Pye told him from a view of the drivers, like, man, we need to do more racing. And Blanchard was like, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I'm a racer too. I want to see more racing. But here's the money reasons behind it. Like, we only get paid so much per round, so to make it viable for the sports and the teams to do more than the current 12 rounds, they got to add four more rounds. So the math works out. So they go up into the next bracket, and then that next bracket will cover those four rounds. Where if they just tack on one or two, it doesn't quite work as well financially.
Yeah, it doesn't divide out. Yep.
So anyway, that's pretty much all I was having at Queensland Raceway. Wasn't too big of a thing.
Yeah. Forgot that conversation started with Queensland Raceway.
Yeah. The supercar calendar is slowly coming together. By the looks of it, Winton. It's by the looks of it, it's going to be either Winton or Phillip Island's coming back.
Yeah.
With Winton getting first preference, and then if that falls apart, Phillip Island.
Yeah, I'll be pissing myself for either track.
Yeah, that'll be
that's,
good.
That's so, already planned.
Yeah, so it's going to be either Sydney start off or a Queensland Raceway start off, because now the whole thing of the needing the contract for New South Wales to be the opening round, that's ended. So that's no longer a problem.
Yep.
So hopefully we should have one soon. We typically have one by a round or by Bathurst weekend.
Yeah.
We'll jump into a bit of news here. First one up here is the TV rights holder looks like it could be sold. So obviously Fox owns the TV rights for supercars at the moment.
Yeah.
As well as Formula One NASCAR here in Australia.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Media Corp, which is the Australian part of the Murdoch Media, is looking at taking offers to sell that. So what that means for supercars or Formula One broadcasting here in Australia, not really too sure. Could go either way, could be better, could be a lot worse. The only thing that really gives me a hope of it is at least supercars internally is a self-made thing.
Yeah, they aren't relying on
Formula One is like Formula One makes everything, and their broadcasters are just that, just broadcasters. They're not making editorial changes.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, they can't control when they go to ad break or what they choose to. When they choose to have that window open.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll roll us into the next bit of news. It's nothing crazy. You and I have witnessed a similar thing in our time of sitting by racetracks.
Sandown 21.
Yep. Oscar Piastri has driven, believed to be most of the first half of the season, F1 season, with a broken rib. I did see the x-ray image. I'm no doctor. It doesn't look too broken. It just kind of fractured in such a way. But obviously the GZ's guys pull are fucking insane. So, and he got, you know, the big story is he got this, he got his first win with a broken rib. So, good on him. There really wasn't much else to put to that. It's just a bunch of quotes, really, of how happy he was to do that, to achieve that.
So, linking back to TCR looking at linking with supercars or the Asia-Pacific category, TCR Asia-Pacific, to help bolster numbers. They're sitting around 13 cars, give or take. They'll get more cars for Bathurst because everyone wants to race Bathurst, but that's about it. So it's, I think, Speed Series is definitely now in the worrying stages.
We're
at the Stan deal, which had its ups and downs. I'm happy it's back on 7.
Yeah.
But S5000's gone under, basically. We're starting to see it, as previously mentioned by you, Tran Am is now starting to link more with supercars. GT World Challenges always had a link with supercars.
Yeah.
So this could be the beginning nails of the coffin of the whole Speed Series brand, which is disappointing because it's always good to have competition.
Yeah, it's just hard when you're going up against something so established and such a big monopoly. And, you know, they'll always have a couple of different junior categories. Like, they'll have the, this weekend, I'm not sure if it's Australian Formula Ford, but if not, state level Formula Ford.
It's national, from what I can.
Yeah, and you know they join them there often. And then next time, this time as well, but they have the Aussie racing cars and all that, you know. So it's hard to go against it, especially when you're just. I don't know. They might have bitten off a bit more than they can chew.
It's gonna be a good weekend. It's gonna be a good weekend in Tassie. I'm keen.
Yeah.
Except,
yeah.
Except for the weather. Fucking, who put it in August? But, nah, it's going to be, you'll see what I mean. It's one of those tracks where, not so much from where we'll probably end up, we'll probably end up, up near the hairpin, so you see a little bit less, but, like, if you set up on that hill, besides the hairpin, it's like, that's your choice. You can see the hairpin and most of the run down to the final corner.
Yeah.
Or you can sit on the hill and get turn one, turn two, turn three, the pit straight, but miss it. But it's one of those places where you see most of everything.
Yeah.
So, nah, it's going to be a real good event. Real good carrier, Formula, Australian Formula Ford, Aussie Racing Cars, the Porsche Super, is it Super Sprint? Porsche Sprint? The,
yes. The category Sprint Challenge, maybe.
That's it. That's it. Sprint Challenge, which is the feeder series for Porsche Super Cup.
Yeah.
And then you got the local Tassie Tin Tops, which they're all right. One of them, like, just full on fucking exploded yesterday, last year. its front left brake disc just went bang and blew the front end of it open.
Fuck yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, that's really the weekend.
Yeah. Keeping on the supercars theme here, we've got iRacing confirming two Australian tracks. So they're looking at getting to Adelaide Street Circuit when supercars get there. I imagine they're going to scan the track before the weekend starts. So probably like Wednesday, throughout the whole day of Wednesday, maybe Tuesday or something like that. They'll just scan it all and get all the data and all this and that. So they'll release that. And they're also going to be dropping into the Bend Motorsport Park. And that place is, I think that like depend, well, they, if they're doing it properly, they're doing all the variants.
Yeah, they'll do all the variants.
They'll probably be spending like a week there doing that shit. Yeah.
And they'll bring the Gen 3 cars themselves with them, I believe.
Yeah, so they've just missed the, I don't know how iRacing updates work and shit, but they've got a update coming, I believe it said this September or so, the season 4 update. They just didn't have all the data there to put it into that one. So they're looking at next year's update, early next year, I believe. So probably in the first half of next year, they'll update it and throw those in. And then you have a lot of supercar drivers, I imagine, playing around with it. But, you know, unless you're Thomas Randall, who just already does that because he can. He
just makes his own shit.
Yeah, he just says to his program developer or whatever, saying, "Hey, here's the specs from Tickford themselves. Yeah. can you put this into a car?"
And I've got Cam coming in later today, so he can make his car 4 mil wider.
Yeah, just let him scrape around a bit more.
Another would be funnier than when we went to that Tickford night and someone asked if Thomas charges his co-drivers to use the Sims. And he was a bit sheepish on answering if he does or doesn't.
Yeah, he would. He would have to. If not, he probably just bills it back to the team as like a work expense or some shit.
Yeah, get it on tax.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Do you reckon they'll be able to actually claim that on tax?
I reckon he would. Also, just a bit of news that popped up this afternoon is Betty and her husband, I believe it's her husband, I'm not quite too sure.
Simon, I think her partner's named. Simon, something like that.
Yeah, just wait, it might be here any second. Whatever. So she had her husband, I believe, Daniel, Betty and Daniel. They've got a couple of deliveries, a couple of old cars. I don't know my old cars that well. But they've now rolled into their garage the 2023 championship winning car. So that's now in private collection.
That's awesome. I would have, like, if I had all the money in the world, like, it's going in the front, Andrew.
Yeah.
Like, if I, like, I had a massive mansion and I had, like, a foyer.
Yeah.
There's going to be a supercar there.
Yeah, like an old without a doubt.
Techno or something.
Yeah.
This is a waiting for my model of that car.
Well, who knows when that will come, mate.
Oh, it's definitely coming. It's, Authentic's just taking ages because, like, all this shit going on with them. They are making heaps of stuff now.
Authentic's.
Yeah, well, they got all the supercars but one. All the supercar teams but one.
Oh, that's all right.
Mm.
That's a good effort.
Yeah, which is good because they make good stuff. The only thing that worries me is, like, as you know, I travel a lot for work, and I'm really skeptical of eating or staying at a pub.
Yeah.
That's the only pub in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you need that competition.
Yeah.
So... Oh, no, it could go either way. Hopefully, like, I've listened to a few interviews with the guy that owns Authentic. He seems like a real genuine fan.
Yeah.
So I just hope he keeps up that good quality.
Yeah, bloody oath. I mean, he does have people under him, but there's no one who's going fucking...
Yeah.
Eye for eye.
It's more you don't want to see that quality slip because there's no competition.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of competition, we've got one more rookie on the grid for next year. Kai Allen will join Matt Payne in that number 26 Grove Penrite Mustang. I must muster that up. So it's good that Kai's finally getting a run. Probably should have got one this year.
Weren't you saying in the Drivers Only podcast that Matt Payne was being pressed as fuck from a couple of the boys?
Courtney was really giving it. Right, I think Courtney just said to him, because they were talking about, they were taking fan questions, and someone was saying, one of the questions for Matt was, when did you find out Richie was going?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, he sort of dodged a question, and he goes, oh, well, Richie was great, you know, the typical Richie's a great bloke.
Just PR'd the shit out of it.
Oh, not really, because he goes like, oh, you know, he's obviously, he's only come over from New Zealand recently.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had to move here full-time for supercars. I can't really go home that often. So, Richie, and obviously Richie being a Kiwi himself that lives in Australia.
Yeah.
They're both link up really well and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes, and then just out of the blue, James Courtney just goes, so how excited are you to race with Kai Allen? And he started the answer, goes, oh, yeah, and then stopped himself because he sort of tweaked. To what, obviously that wasn't public at that point.
Yeah.
And then, sort of like, the deeper Squally and Courtney were just laughing at how he pretty much just dropped the ball and confirmed it. and then Courtney starts giving deeper Squally shit again. So, where are you going then? He goes, I don't, oh, you know. And then deeper Squally's trying to do the weasel questions of, getting out of saying what he's planning.
Yeah.
Courtney's sitting there going like, well, I thought you were going there, and I thought you were going there, so what's going on? But no, both those podcasts are really good. They're fucking funny, too.
Yeah.
But more on the silly season stuff, rumours and speculation, Jack Doohan pretty much all but confirmed at Alpine. Kim Illman sort of dropped the ball on the embargo.
Yeah.
And let it slip a few days ago. So as of today, what's today, the 13th? As of the 13th, it's not confirmed by the team yet.
Mm.
But considering there's not a lot of other people willing to jump in that Alpine, so it's going to be good. Well, so Jack's going to get at least a year out of it.
Yeah.
Then final bit of co-driver news. So Dean Fiore confirmed for Jackson Evan in the number 12 Brad Jenner Racing Camaro for Bathurst and Sandown.
Yeah.
Which means we now only have two unconfirmed co-drivers left, which we, you know, it's like, we know who they are, but it's not confirmed by the team yet, which will probably be James Moffat again with Cameron Waters.
Yeah.
For their fourth or fifth year together, and Tyler Everingham again with Thomas Randall.
Okay, yep.
Do you want to take us through the championship standings as we head towards Tasmania, mate?
I would love to. So, obviously, Ford have been on a huge charge recently with Chad Mostert taking the taking it head on with that lead. So we've got Will Brown placing first in driver championship at 17:46. And we've got Chas Mostert 105 points down, and Brock Feeney has fallen to 153 points down. Red Bull are still leading the team's championship at 3,309 points, with Tickford 802 points down and Walkinshaw Andretti 815 points down. So that's
it's generally coming a really good season. Even in Formula One, it's coming a really good season.
Yeah, it's everyone's like just for the media going fuck this and just putting their foot down.
Did you see Garth Tanner ripping into Speed Cafe?
I did not.
So
was it a good one?
At the end of the broadcast, Garth just, which is he's not wrong in saying, he goes, "Look, yeah, Chaz has dropped the lead down to 105 points, but I can't see Chaz winning it.
Yeah,
I can't see Red Bull dropping with a lead this big. I can't see Red Bull dropping the ball this hard that Will Brown will not be champion."
Yeah.
And then Speed Cafe put out an article out saying, like, Garth Tander puts knife into Chas Mostert's hopes. And Garth was straight in the comments going, like, did you watch the fucking interview? I just said it would be very hard for him. I didn't say I was going to put a knife into back about it.
Yeah. They love it, mate. People just see something and run with it.
Actually, on the back of stupid shit, as you know, I'm slowly working my way through the 2011 season. I'll just finish the round at Queensland Raceway, which was three races, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. The two on Saturday were like 2 30-minute races, and the one on Sunday was like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But how wild is this for a format? So qualify, qualify, race Saturday, do 40 laps, or 40 minutes, whatever it was.
On Saturday still?
Yep. Race is finished. Checkered flag.
Yeah.
15-minute gap between checkered flag and the pit lane opening to go back to the grid for the race two.
So the races were back-to-back?
Back-to-back by 15 minutes.
And they just set the cars out on track?
No. Cars came back to pit lane like normal.
Yeah.
But like they literally didn't even roll them into the grid. They were working on the cars in the slow lane, like just doing, once overs. But pretty much, unless they had damage, no one was daring to roll their car back in. Because I'm pretty sure race one dedicated the starting position of race two.
Yeah. Shit.
Actually, that's something really
tight as turnaround.
Yeah, weird. But, like, it had a rare fuck-up from Triple Eight where, so Jamie was on pole.
Yeah.
And the car just didn't go anywhere. Like, just stalled out pretty much immediately and really struggled to get going. Had to limp its way back to the pit lane.
Yeah.
So they used to, this is like back when they had the old school V8s with the big trumpet and, trumpet air intakes.
Yeah.
There's probably some mad car nut yelling at me because I just called it something stupid, but you get the idea. Anyway, but like this is when all the cars are different, all the engines were changed up. So everyone used to have covers that went over their engine, so when the bonnets were up, someone taking a photo couldn't see what they're doing with the engine. Or like what configuration the engine was in. They left that in Jamie's car. So when he went to take off, he had no air going to the engine because the fucking Vodafone foam cover to stop photos was still on the car. And I'll find a video of this. I'll send it to you later.
Yeah.
So the car came in. They must have knew straight away what it was. Bonnet up, foam cover out, gets frisbeed into the garage.
Yeah.
And Larko spotted it. Larko, like, they did it real sneaky too. Like, they frisbeed it, and then someone grabbed it and ran it into the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And Larko found Roland Dane's, like, so what was that about? And Dane's having none of it. Like, he really does not want to have a chat about it.
Yeah.
And there was like, there's this moment, I'll send you the video, there's this moment where like, you could just see in Roland Day's eyes, looking at staring Larko down, going, just fuck off. And then Larko's like, well, thanks for chatting to me, and just like, leaves.
That's fucking awesome. Oh, shit. Alright, well, I'll say that wraps up episode 19 of the Rest Nuts podcast. We're almost at 20 and... Thanks for listening.